Hello, this is a trial short 8 to 10 minute summary of Sunday's sermon, March 13, 2016. It's a sermon on the Sixth Commandment. Doing this for those who could not be with us in worship so that you can catch up on what you missed and we might be a community that's reflecting and discussing together on the important topics in this series on the Ten Commandments. So the initial problem with the Sixth Commandment, you shall not murder, is that everyone believes it. Nearly everyone believes we should not murder. But the reality is that the biblical perspective that we should not murder contains three kinds of news that other perspectives do not have. The biblical perspective of the Sixth Commandment has richer news of justice and mercy working together, more probing news in exposing our brokenness, and truly good news for us personally. The texts we looked at, of course, were Exodus 20, verse 13, but we also looked at Galatians 5, 19 to 25. Let me read them for you. Exodus 20, verse 13 says, "You shall not murder." Galatians 5, 19 and 25 says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." First, richer news. There are multiple words for killing in the Old Testament, but the word for murder in Exodus 20:13 is specifically for when one person strikes or slays another person with emphasis on physical violence or force. So it's speaking to premeditated murder, or passionate manslaughter, or even though negligent homicide. We see one very important aspect of biblical justice in the "you shall not murder" command in Genesis 9, 5, and 6. This is just after Noah, his family, and the animals have come out of the ark after the flood in Genesis 9, 6, 7, and 8. Genesis 9, 5, and 6 says, For your lifeblood, I will require a reckoning. From every beast, I will require it, and from man. From his fellow man, I will require a reckoning for the life of man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image." First, God is saying appropriate justice means one who sheds blood in murder, that person's blood should be shed in return. One aspect of justice in this is that it's limiting revenge, because sometimes in other cultures, this murderer, but also his son or family, would also be put to death for a murder. Now, capital punishment is more complicated than just this one verse, but it is laying down very early one of God's general principles. But I also want us to see what is really important in this is the why. For God made man in his own image. Murder needs justice because of the incredible value of every single human life, because they are made in the image of God. Christians should see every human life as monumentally valuable. We should actually seek to overcome the familiarity and hardness of heart that we have from hearing of murders in the US and around the globe, and cultivate a response of grief at murder, because someone in the image of God is gone. A current or potential worshiper of God is gone. Knowing that all human beings are made in the image of God has reference for what justice should look like and what's at stake anytime someone's murdered. But there's also a second principle of justice and mercy in the Old Testament in regards to murder, and that's the cities of refuge. In Numbers 35, God says to set up six cities of refuge so that someone who accidentally causes a death may flee to it to protect himself from a family member who might be inclined to avenge the death. Then the elders of that city would make sure that the justice and mercy occurred properly. If the man had premeditated death, then he would be put to death. But if it was accidental, he would be declared innocent, but he would have to stay in that city of refuge until the death of the high priest. He had safety in that city, but he left it all. If he left it, all bets were off. This shows God working out for Israel a complex view of justice and mercy. So the biblical view of justice and mercy in regards to murder is not traditional and it's not modern, but it carves out a unique space. But there's also a unique probing nature to the Bible's view of murder. So the second point starts with remembering that what Jesus does with the sixth commandment in the Sermon on the Mount. He says that if you have heard it said that you shall not murder, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother is guilty of murder. He is intensifying the sixth commandment so that it's not just actions, but it includes our unexpressed heart desires and thoughts. And we see this also in Galatians 5, 19 to 25. There are 15 terms in that sequence of works of the flesh, plus one additional things like these. But 8 of those 15 have to do with anger. 8. Paul is also intensifying the law to our internal expressions of sin and rebellion. He lists enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. Each of these are precursors to murder. And Paul's saying that they are expressions of our works of the flesh, that is, our life in opposition to God, establishing myself as the master, making myself the reference of everything, of working out good for myself apart from God. The Bible says you shall not murder is about how mercy and justice gets worked out, but it's also about what's actually happening in my heart towards other people right now. That's the place the Bible is concerned to start when we think about murder. We may initially be a little blasé about the sixth commandment because we probably haven't murdered someone else. But once we see that its true concern extends to my hanging on to enmity and envy and strife with others, instead of confessing them as sin in opposition to God, the sixth commandment becomes uncomfortably relevant to each of us. We need to go to confession to Jesus when we find that our hearts are holding on to one of these 8 expressions that lead to murder in Galatians 5:20, and seek Jesus' forgiveness and his renewal through the Holy Spirit, that the fruit of the Holy Spirit might be what is captivating our hearts. So since we're actually guilty as murderers based on what our hearts are holding on to, what are we to do about it? The third point is we need some good news. We need mercy in the midst of the call for justice. It's scary but helpful to realize that Moses, David, and Paul were each actually murderers. How did they find mercy? How can we? If we take up that image of the cities of refuge, our situation is that we are guilty of murder, and Satan is running after us, accusing us, seeking the vengeance of the law against us. But God has given us a supreme city of refuge. We run to Jesus, who is our city of refuge, and enter in. When we enter in, God takes up our case. We deserve death because we are guilty. In the Old Testament, there's no ransom for a murder, no opportunity even to buy freedom for the murderer. Perhaps that's precisely because human life is too valuable, and there's nothing or no one that could be given that would actually be an appropriate ransom. But in Jesus, that changes, because he is immensely valuable, of unique worth. And in the Old Testament, there's no ransom because it was preserving room for the one, only one who could be a ransom. So Jesus ransoms us from our sin as murderers when we put our faith and hope in him. But then what's the rule of the city of refuge? The person is to remain in the city until the death of the high priest. We are to remain in Jesus, our city of refuge. Our life is only safe in him. And as our resurrected high priest who lives forever, our call is to live forever in him, never leaving the bounds of his goodness or words to us, because that's where is our life, our forgiveness, our safety, and our joy is found.